I now call this Strategic Planning and Finance Committee meeting of February 17th, 16th to order, 2011. I'll go ahead and take a roll call. I'm Russ Huebner, Chairman of the Board Committee.
Gary Kimball, Specialized Public Finance, Financial Advisor to the City.
Janine Smalling, Committee Member.
David Robertson, Committee Member.
Lamie Lambert with the City of Kyle.
I'm Pervez Mahi with the City of Kyle.
Lenny Bates with the City of Kyle.
All right, guys. Do we need to do some introductions, I think, maybe for Janine? I guess you probably never met Gary. Or. Yeah.
We are an independent firm that we do not buy bonds. We simply advise on the issuance of bonds. So we're the city's advocate when it comes to actually selling debt. And as an ongoing function, we monitor refunding opportunities for debt that's been previously issued. So to the extent that any previous bond issue makes sense to refinance in the current market, we keep track of those issues relative to the market and alert you to potential refunding opportunities.
And are you associated with a bank or some sort of financial entity or
No, we're regulated by the Municipal Securities Rulemaking Board and by FINRA and by the SEC. And all we do is advise cities, counties, agencies of the state, river authorities on the issuance of debt.
All right. So let's go ahead and get to the changes that we've made to the debt management policy here. These are changes that we basically voted on at the last committee meeting, and we've actually got the language here. I assume everybody's had a chance to read over the language, and what I'd like to do first is open it up to any questions, if anybody has questions about the changes that have been made, the additions that were made as well. And if you'd like, Perez, you can kind of jump in real quick and,
okay.
and let us know if there's anything you'd like to point out.
There are a couple of items that I'd like to bring to your attention just whenever you're ready.
Yeah, well,
okay. What's in your packet? Let me walk you through first what's in your packet. The draft that's dated 2/3/2011, that's the latest version that includes all the comments and items that y'all voted on at the last committee meeting on the 25th. The ordinance right behind that is the ordinance we worked from during the last meeting. So if you wanted to refer to what that old ordinance looked like, right behind that is a landscape with some yellow highlights. This is the analysis that we walked through last time, but what I have done this time is updated it to reflect the changes. So you have a second column, and what's highlighted in yellow is the language that is in the ordinance now and the numbers that go with it. Right behind that is the draft presentation for the public hearing. I wanted the committee to take a look at that and give us your thoughts and comments. And then the last handout you have is some questions we received through Mayor Pro Tem's office regarding the draft ordinance and the responses with that. So starting with the draft that's dated 2/3, the latest version, you will see all the changes that are highlighted in yellow. So the first change is on page 2 of 7, section 3 up top in the emergency purposes section. During our discussions, we voted, or the committee voted last time, that in an emergency, that the debt can be issued by the affirmative vote of a majority of the quorum that's present. Now, I had the city attorney take a look at that language to make sure that it's in sync with what the city charter says. And the city attorney's office advised that perhaps we should be a little bit more specific and say at least a minimum of 4. So that's one comment that we received from the city attorney's office. Then on page 3 of 7, this is something that every time I read this, I find something new, so I stop reading. So under 7, I wanted to call to y'all's attention. We just didn't discuss this at our last meeting. Number 7, where it says leases and lease purchases, if you read it carefully, it says it's okay to finance major capital purchases as long as they're other than infrastructure. The one thing that caught my attention is our sewer treatment plant currently is on a lease purchase. I'm mechanism. So I don't know if the committee intended that to be in. If not, we could change that to read, including infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we'll have to do is we'll have to bring this up next week when we have a quorum.
Okay, so that's one item that I think needs our attention, or the committee's attention. Then under D, restrictions on debt issuance, there was a item 3 in the old version where it stated that the city staff could, or city in general, could issue CO debt if it was a more efficient debt instrument. And the committee voted to strike that out. So that the old number 3 is no longer there. So we took that entire section out. And then in item number 5, D5, where it's highlighted yellow, it used to be 50% of budgeted general fund revenue. The committee voted to look at it 40%. It would be a good thing to have that analysis, you know, look at it side by side as we go through.
For sure.
So I could walk you through. It's on page 1 of the analysis. The yellow section is what is in the policy now. In most of these, we were looking at option 1 or option 2. So the highlighted is what the committee voted to keep. So if you look at the 40% number now, it is $5.045 million maximum allowed for debt service, as compared to $6.3 million at 50% before. Moving on to page 4, here again, it continued. It used to have 50%, now it's 40% limit. Section E, limitations on outstanding debt. 1A was 8%. The committee voted to change it to 6% of total AV. And if you look at on page 2 of the analysis, 6% now is $80,811,000. And currently we are at $73 million. So 6%, we're real close to that, is 5.42%. As compared to when we were looking at 8%. Then the second part of that is COs payable from the general fund shall not exceed, used to be, I think it was 4%. Let me see. 5%. And the old one is 5%. Now if you look at item B highlighted, we've changed that to 3%. And we're real close to that threshold, 2.63 compared to 3%.
Gary, how do you feel about that when, when we're, if in the future we're looking at new bonds and we're close to these limits in our policy, as long as we don't go over those limits, obviously, do they, when we're getting close to them, do they kind of frown on that?
No, I mean, as long as you live within them, these are very tight limits. Mm-hmm. So, you know, pushing right to the limit isn't mm-hmm. going to cause you a problem.
Okay.
I'll tell you, these are tighter than most of the debt policies that I've seen. So from that perspective, you're okay. What will cause you problems is if, you know, you routinely bust the policy, get out of compliance,
right.
Or routinely make changes to it after it's adopted. That's going to water it down and weaken it to the point where it won't matter. You won't get the full credit for having adopted it in the first place. So just keep your eye on that relative to, you know, the city's CIP. I think the best approach on something like this that I've seen is to, you know, make sure that, you know, what you've imposed will, you know, still accommodate, you know, projects that are essential projects that aren't discretionary. You know, sewer plant expansions because of a TCEQ order, things like that, you know, you would otherwise be fined if you didn't hit it, if you're about to bust up against some limits on treatment capacity, those sorts of things. But otherwise, it, you know, as far as holding, you know, to a really tight standard, bumping up against it isn't going to cause you a problem.
Yeah.
And you know, keep in mind, it is tied to assessed value, so you will grow into additional capacity
right.
as the city's tax base grows.
Which is the idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to page 5, item number 9 up top. This was the general fund reserve discussion at the last committee meeting. The committee voted to change from 90 days to 180 days. So if you look at the calculation, it's on bottom of page 3 of the analysis. And the committee also asked me to run a ramp-up period 3, 5, 10, and 15. So in the policy, currently the latest draft has a 10-year ramp-up period. So if we go from 90 days to 180 days, we have a shortfall of $2.1 million as of right now. So to make that up over a 10-year ramp-up period, we would have to budget $217,000 approximately per year.
Wow.
To catch up.
That's a lot. Even 15 years is still $144,000. Maybe that's why the initial policy was set to 90 days. I mean, $217,000 is almost 2 cents on the tax rate. It's probably actually closer to like 1.5 cents.
Well, 140 is about 1 cent, right?
Yeah. At 140 is about 1 cent on the tax rate that we'd have to come up with just to meet this policy at the 80 days over a 15-year period. So that'll definitely be something that we need to think about for the public hearing next week. Basically, what that means is if we're going to hit this 180 days within 10 years, we're going to have to raise taxes just to meet our reserve fund requirements, which I don't think anybody would be really excited about.
And the other thing I want to caution y'all is that the beginning balance is unaudited. So we won't have the audit till the end of March, so mm-hmm. that number may change slightly. Mm-hmm. I don't know to what extent that will change.
Help me understand this. So when you say 1.5 cents, what does that equate to?
So like on your house, the way that you're taxed on your home is they take, for every $100 worth of value, you're taxed 42 cents.
Okay.
So for us to raise $217,000, one penny raises about $135,000, $140,000, somewhere in that figure. So for us to raise, you know, roughly $144,000, we'd have to raise taxes on your house by one penny. So go from 42 cents to 43 cents just for this line item, not to mention all the other projects that the city has to pay for.
Well, let's see, if your house is, this is just mathematical, $110, and you're paying $420 a year. If you go up to 43 cents, you're paying $430.
Okay.
One penny would be $10 a year, 8 cents a month increase in your tax.
But what you've got to also keep in mind is that we've got a lot of debt service coming due in the next fiscal year and the fiscal year after that, which is going to push up tax rates without doing any other spending.
Right.
So when we get that additional tax rate plus trying to meet this policy, we'll have to raise taxes over and above what the debt service wants. Not to mention, I'm sure city staff is going to come to us with all kinds of projects that they want, and it's going to be up to the city council as to whether or not we fund those projects or not, which could push taxes up again. So you put it all together and you could be looking at a pretty hefty tax hike in the next year or two. It's whether or not.
Plus all the other taxing entities.
Exactly.
Right.
What's the schools?
Yeah.
The schools is, I think, $1.40.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's high.
It's the highest, of course.
School,
the county's about 44 cents.
Schools pushing the limit on what they can think they do.
I think they are at the limit, actually, from what I've heard, but I'm not 100% sure on
the limit's $1.50. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right at
it. They might be at $1.50 then. Anyway. So this is something for us to think about. Do we want to go back to 90 days? Do we want to maybe make it a 20-year ramp-up? I mean, as it stands now at 180 days in 10 years, we're probably going to have to raise 1.5 cents on the tax rate just to meet that. It does give us money in case there's an emergency for us to fall back on. So, I mean, there is kind of a bright side to it, but at the same time, we'll probably get some sort of political fallout from the citizens that we're raising taxes. Which you always get that.
So, Reg, what's our preliminary valuation increase? It tells you that from the district?
The first cut we looked at is about $100 million, roughly, in round numbers.
Of new
tax base?
Well, that's good news. So if our tax rate is 42 cents, $100 million is
$420,000
in new money.
Yeah.
But of that...
But that goes into debt service.
Yeah, exactly.
Every penny.
Half of that is debt service increase.
Yeah.
Oh, our new increase next year is $450,000.
And you know, one thing...
Yeah, whether you have the health insurance and all that.
I mean the debt service is $450,000.
It's $265,000.
All right. And it's another $265,000 next year. So it's $500,000 next year, and then 3 years from now, it's $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Balloon payment.
Hopefully, if we're lucky, though, this year will be a lot better than the last two, and we'll get even more growth. Of course, none of us have a crystal ball, but I'm hoping. Anyway,
our
let's
sales
move
tax
on.
Is up 15%?
From previous year, same time previous year, is about 14%.
How much is that got to be dollar-wise?
About $100,000.
$100,000 in new.
One thing to perhaps consider here is that we didn't have a debt management policy before, nor did we have an emergency general fund reserves before. 90 days is a good start.
It is a good start.
We can always ramp it up down the road when things get better.
I would think too, Gary, if that was one thing that we changed in our policy a year later, I don't think that that would be frowned on necessarily.
No, if you're tightening things,
that's a good thing.
Down the road, okay. That's not going to be viewed negatively. And I'll tell you just from the perspective of, you know, your peers, 90 days is fairly typical. You know, that's kind of the point at which the rating agencies, when they're looking at the city, if they see the 90 days or better, they're checking a box. Mm-hmm. You start to get extra credit at the point that you go above 4 months. 3 months is kind of what they expect to see. Mm-hmm. 4 months is, you know, you get a little extra credit. Mm-hmm. When you get up to 6 months, you're in, you know, pretty thin company. There are a lot of communities that have taken the bull by the horns to reserve, you know, up to 6 months. And for the most part, what would motivate a 6 month reserve are communities exposed to high concentrations to a single taxpayer, high concentrations of sales tax compared to property tax because it's a lot more volatile revenue stream. Mm-hmm. City of Round Rock, for instance, keeps right around 180 days worth of cash because they've got both of those problems. They've got a high concentration to a single taxpayer in Del Computer. And Del Computer spends off such a large amount of sales taxes and it funds such a significant portion of their budget, it's like 40% of the budget is sales tax dependent. Hmm. That's why they keep such high levels of reserves.
We're definitely not on that boat here in Kyle. I mean,
no. So to the extent that you want to start, you know, where you are and ratchet that up later, I don't think you're going to lose any of the power of the debt management policy to begin with by doing so.
I know we can't vote on it right now, but I mean, just to throw it out there, what do you think of moving it to 120 days? You know, just kind of like compromising a little bit. I mean, I don't know.
You know, I think we'd still probably have a shortfall, it looks like. What do you think?
Yeah, you would have a negative.
But it wouldn't be very much. But, you know, what we can do is, you know, bring that thought to the public hearing and bring that up. And, you know, we can make a motion, and I'm sure we'll have Gary speak to that as well, and then we can vote on it. So
for now, do we want to leave it at the 90 days?
Well, we have to for now because we don't have a quorum to make any changes.
Well, I thought we had changed it to 180 days.
We changed it to 180 days, only because at the time when we changed it, we didn't really know how the figures would look. And we were you know, kind of in a conservative mode, felt like 6 months would be good. So
Yeah, my only caution,
didn't
you know,
have
when we first started.
Out of it, so.
Well, when we started talking ranges initially, and just for the history, we actually proposed this year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The rating agencies really want to see communities adopting these sorts of policies. It's a very good discipline. And what they don't want to do, however, is see you adopt things that you're immediately out of compliance with. Mm-hmm. Other than to the extent that, you know, for a very, you know, stringent type of reserves requirement, if you at the same time adopt a plan to meet that goal, then they're fine. Okay. That's been the feedback we've got directly from them.
That sounds good. Well, good thought. Bring that up at the public hearing, and we'll see how it goes. So let's go ahead and move on to this.
Okay, on page six, the types of investments we could put money in from our debt proceeds. We had talked about the existing bonds that we hold, agency bonds, and committee voted to allow them to be grandfathered. So that section speaks to that. The current securities to be grandfathered. As they mature, they'll fall in the new bucket.
Gotcha.
And those were the only changes.
All right, good deal. Let's go ahead and run through the PowerPoint. The only thing I might say before you get started is I think this is great information. What I'm afraid of.
Too much.
Yeah, I don't want the citizens who show up to feel like they're trying to drink from a fire hydrant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
no, I put everything in there for y'all to consider,
okay.
And then y'all pick and choose what's important. So, however you like for me to proceed, y'all can just flip through it. You want me to walk you through?
I think we could probably take out who the members are. That'd be one quick one we could take out. I mean, we'll introduce ourselves during the roll call.
Okay. So take out.
People will remember names when you see them.
Oh, and by the way, my name's spelled wrong.
That was the purpose of this.
There we go.
So if you would let me know.
Well, yeah, we could just put that up there and flash it real quick and just show it.
J-A-N-I-N-E.
J-A-N-I-N-E.
I find it real helpful, especially when people are there and they actually see the names. That's why when every time you go to a class, the teacher put the names up on the blackboard, there's a reason for it. Because there's a chance you're going to remember one name and then you're going to have a contact. Actually, I do deem that important.
I'd like to keep the presentation to like 5 to 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just because once you get past that, you start getting the glazed over eyes real bad. I'm assuming this would take way more than 5 to 7 minutes right now. And it's probably going to be hard.
Page 4 alone. Page 3 is quick. You can actually reword these to combine them, make them a little shorter. But the last two bullets provide a comprehensive view of the city's long-term debt picture, make it easier for decision-making to understand, combine those. You can shorten it up.
Slide 6 would go pretty quick. I definitely want to have the highlights slide in there. I think that's going to be pretty important.
All of them or just a certain highlight one?
Slide 7. I mean, this kind of talks about...
It takes the main...
Yeah,
of the ordinance.
Yeah, it does.
And because they're in several slides, it doesn't have to take that much time. It could go real quick. Just even within the slides, you don't have to read all.
To be honest, I think this is very well done because I think it walks people through it. And even though you don't have to explain it in detail, I think it tells a story that's
really does.
Easy to...
If someone that hasn't read the ordinance can get what's in the ordinance,
they can do it better. You know, maybe we just, I mean, these last few slides are really just kind of showing, you know, debt levels.
Yeah, I thought I'd teach you guys a trick.
Uh-huh.
All right, take slide 3 off, you put up a poster board. You don't actually have to go over it. The important key factors that you want to do, you can put them on a separate board, on a flip chart or something, just have them out here. And then keep the slides basically to the gist, like slide 7. That way there, you spend more time on the PowerPoint with that, but you'll have this other information up there they can read.
Yeah.
So they start to glaze over, people will actually look to see if there's something else more interesting. And that's why when I do meetings, I like to have the interesting stuff up that we don't have to dive into and spend a lot of time on, and they can read at their leisure, and then you can shorten the slide down presentation.
My only concern with that is I don't have an art department, and
yeah.
I have a lousy handwriting. So if I make those posters, you'll have a hard time. Especially.
Well, we couldn't get this blown up. We don't have a printer in planning department.
Can we have the GIS guy?
The GIS guy can do it.
Yeah. You just blow this one.
Well, I mean, I like the idea. It's just that it's a matter of time and money and materials and that all together.
You know,
let's just try and blow up.
Let's
do like this this slide three. If we can just maybe post it somewhere, I think we're gonna have to really keep all the rest of these slides. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's a pretty complex ordinance for the average Joe.
I would sure take this for the presentation to the city council.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to have a lot of questions.
Plus, this is going to be a lot of good information for people to see, like the numbers, to see it in a bar graph, I think is great.
The other thing to keep in mind is that this is a public hearing. This becomes public record.
Yeah.
So it will be in city clerk's record, permanent record. So whatever we have, even though there are slides, they'll be part of the permanent.
Yeah.
So you want it comprehensive, is that what you're
saying? Comprehensive, accurate.
Yeah.
Plus we can present it to city council. So let's do this. When we hold the public hearing, we'll do the roll call, we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then I want to go right into the presentation so that the public is there, they can understand what's going on, and then after they've seen the presentation, then actually open it up for the public hearing itself so that the citizens who have questions about all the information that we've given them, or even comments, they can make those at that time. And then we can start answering those questions. Because I'd hate to do the public hearing first and then give the presentation afterwards. I mean, that's kind of putting the cart in front of the horse, if you ask me. So, I think that's the format that I want to go over. After that, who knows if we'll get many questions. I'm thinking we'll get a few comments and we'll wrap it up after that. So. And then obviously we can make a couple of motions to make any changes that we want to make, kind of like the reserve fund, the emergency reserve fund. So we'll definitely need to talk about that. And then also talk about the, what was the other issue? The more specific information about having at least 4 city council members available to make a vote on the emergency debt issuance. So.
And the lease purchase.
And the lease purchase, yes, you're right. Got a note on there.
So I'll make you some notes for that.
Yeah, that'd be great for sure. Otherwise, wish we had a quorum, but we didn't. So,
let me bring up an issue that the mayor brought up today when she came by my office to talk about. She has read the preliminary proposed draft. She had a question, or she had something she wanted to talk about. Probably she should bring it up herself or bring it up at the council meeting. But what she said was that she understands with the restrictions on COs and has no objection to whatever restrictions this group wants to propose on the use of COs. But she believed philosophically if the community wanted to vote on GOs, there should not be any restriction on what the community wanted to vote on. So I don't, philosophically, she says if the public wants to vote on it, they should be restricted by this one. Mm-hmm. But she can see the need for restrictions on COs and all the others. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know where she wants to go with that. She just brought the philosophical argument.
What do you think, Gary? Have you seen any kind of clause in these policies where it says if the public really wants it, they can go over the head of the policy? Or?
No, I mean I've been involved in the drafting of a lot of these, and I've never seen a carve out, you know, that basically says, well, limits be darned. If we vote for a certain amount, then we'll blow through the limits.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard this argument come up in past city councils when these ordinances have been proposed?
Actually, I haven't. I understand it.
Well, I'll tell you what she specifically referring to. She says that the public wants to vote on a $22 million, what was that?
Rec center?
Yeah, rec center. They'll be allowed to vote on it. This would preclude allowing that.
Yeah.
I don't know that she advocates that. She just argued that ought to be considered. But you've not seen any removal of restrictions on the difference between GOs or COs, right?
No.
That's that, right?
Doesn't mean they're not out there. But I've been doing this for 17 years, and between the two firms I've worked with, I've seen most of the versions of these types of policies that are out there. I haven't seen that exemption. What I honestly do see are typically higher thresholds than what you're adopting, so that it frankly hasn't become an issue.
Right.
If someone, you know, needed to vote a $20 million rec center or piece of infrastructure, typically there's been room under the policy to get that done. Mm-hmm. This one is, so close to your actuals that, it raises that question. And
well,
legitimately.
You know, I think that, you know, just speaking for myself, not for the committee, one reason that I brought up, and I think we all talked about this, was lowering those thresholds from the 8% to the 6 and the 5 to the 3, was one that we feel like our city is going to grow over the next several years. Who knows how fast, but we've got 3 million square feet of retail space and still plenty of room for more rooftops to come in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and you will grow into additional capacity.
And that's what we're thinking, too. On top of that, we're afraid of where our debt service is headed over the next 5 years. And, you know, the taxes involved with covering that debt service, we felt like if we left it at the 8 and the 5, knowing that there's another $75 million in CIP that's been proposed in the last year, year and a half, we're afraid if we left those limits higher, we could easily take on another $20 or $30 million in debt. And then suddenly, with the debt service that's already coming, plus an additional $30 million, suddenly we could easily double our tax rate and not only be the highest in Hays County, but the highest in the entire I-35 corridor and competing with Austin and San Antonio tax rates. And that could hamper our growth more than anything. At least that's been my concern anyway. So,
and the view of the rating agencies would probably mirror that.
Yeah.
And be sort of along the lines of, look, certain projects might capture the hearts mm-hmm. of the voters, and they might approve a certain dollar amount without realistically understanding the impact on the budget and leverage ratios and things that the layman typically doesn't get into. And these policies are meant for policymakers beyond the layman to keep those things in check.
Right. Well, we did have the Charter Review Committee asked us that we consider reviewing this ordinance at least every 5 years. When that was brought up at the City Council meeting, we had a couple of City Council members, and I even think I was one of them too, that talked about reviewing this every year or on an as-needed basis, but with a minimum of 5 years. Even if we reviewed this every year, do you think that could cause issues? Let's say we didn't make changes, but if the creditors knew that we were reviewing it every single year.
One of the questions they ask is how often do you review policies? And the more
so
often
they look
at
that with like a suspicious eye. So.
No.
Okay.
Just not like credit checks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Vez, Wendy, excellent job. Really appreciate all you've done. I can tell you put a lot of time and effort into it. PowerPoint presentation, I love that too. I think
I have a couple of logistics questions.
Yeah, let's go for it.
I may have misunderstood this, but I thought there was some discussion about during the charter amendment discussions that this could be a ballot item.
Yes, it could be.
So if it's adopted by the charter, it's no longer an ordinance at that point.
I think that the actual charter is saying that the city council needs to adopt a debt management ordinance.
Okay.
I don't remember.
So I don't know if there's going to be actually a ballot question.
Right.
Should the city adopt a debt management policy, yes or no?
I think that in the charter it's going to say that the city of Kyle needs to adopt a debt management ordinance by, I think, the year like 20. I think they gave a year as well. Yeah.
And then review it on
regular. Right, but it didn't actually say, adopt an ordinance into the charter. I think it basically gives us a time frame to get one.
To get one done.
To get one done,
okay.
Yeah.
Because on my last slide, we're going to talk about next steps. We're going to go over the public hearing that we're holding that evening, February 23rd. City Council discussion will be sometime February, March time frame. And then, of course, there's a city election in May.
Yeah.
And then I guess the debt management policy will get adopted prior to the election then.
You know, we don't have April in here. So we might be able to adopt it by April, I would assume. That's kind of what I was thinking as a time frame. If we have the, well, if we have the public hearing starting in March, we could have the second reading by April.
Right.
Which means we could have it adopted by like the end of April, right before the election, which would be good because that would be right before we make our budget policy statement.
Right. Well, the budget policy statement, I believe, is in March.
Mm, okay. Yeah, I guess that's right.
March 7th.
We were shooting for March.
Yeah.
Well, we're only going to have two meetings in March, so it'll probably be the March 14th meeting.
Okay.
So maybe on the March 14th meeting, we could have the first public hearing on this. So at the same time, the city council is seeing it for the first time, and we're making our budget policy statement, I can kind of bring this up that, you know, we've got this debt management ordinance. Based on that, we need to hit these goals, whatever they happen to be. So.
Okay. And then in April, you do the first and second reading?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then by the time we either have the same mayor or new mayor, we'll have a debt management policy rolling. So
okay.
Hopefully. I know this has been a long time coming, so.
As long as it doesn't fall on April 15th.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, 17th this year.
Oh, that's right. It's a weekend.
Yeah. My taxes are done, so I'm not worried about it. All right, guys. Thanks. Well, any other questions or comments, Lane?
I vote that we let him run the city council meeting. I like his meeting.
All right. All right, guys. We'll.
You running for mayor?
You're
right. Yeah. He did some things about it.
Yeah. I definitely don't have the time. I barely have the time as it is. All right, guys. This meeting is adjourned. Since we don't have a quorum, we don't need a motion.
Next week?
Yeah, I will.